if you're deserving due to your previous practices of spiritual life, due to your crying of your heart, if you're deserving to get first class guru, because there are different levels of guru, you'll get first class guru. There's no chance. It's not by chance that someone says, I really want spiritual life, I'm really looking for God, and I know I finally found my Gurudev. Who's your Gurudev? Osha. Or Rajneesh, you know, was that his name? The Rajneesh. Osho or whatever it is. Rajneesh. He's changed his name, or he's dead, of course, now. And then you meet that person. I met so many. They wear these red leotards and red t-shirts and stuff, you know, like red, you know, Levi's or something. And they come up to me, oh, and they're all fired up, and I meet them, and they say, oh, you know, I'm so happy, I just came from India, I got initiated by so-and-so. Oh, great, congratulations. That's wonderful. You know, well, this, you know, because I'm trying to sell them a book, right? Trying to sell them Bhagavatam in the Los Angeles airport, and they're flying in from India. I say, great, well, that's all fantastic. Well, you just came back from India. Mm-hmm. Who's your guru? Oh, wonderful, wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful. Where are you from? Really, I'm from Santa Monica. Hey, well, you know, yeah, I'm into yoga myself. You know, bhakti yoga, you're into it. It's a great thing. The whole world is improving now. See this book, Bhagavatam, blah, 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 blah. You take it with you? Yeah, great. You know, thank you, goodbye. And somehow or other, he thinks that that's a great thing. He has his guru. So it's a very nice thing, but everything is nothing by chance. If this person gets guru, he has faith, but how much faith does he have? He had faith in guru, but how much faith did he have? Because if he had more faith and more sukriti, he would get more proper guru.
Good thing is that nothing's coming by chance. Now, in the case, now someone, like if someone he got some particular guru, but then on the other side he become like a conscious that actually he has to make more advancement. That means like he figured out actually that, and now he's for example like get initiation.
That's
but
it's
Shiksha Guru.
No problem.
Shiksha and Diksha Gurus are the equal manifestations of the Absolute Truth. It's a family. Krishna is a family. Guru is in the Parivar. He's Krishna's family. That's what I said. We read that in the first page. Sri Guru is Krishna. Diksha Guru is Sri Guru. Diksha Guru is Sri Guru. Krishna comes. Oh, now this is ABC. Okay. Now you want the XYZs. And another one comes in. This is XYZs. What is the competition? What is the problem? The problem is false ego. It's assuming, this is a very large assumption, but assuming we had some disciples, gave some teaching, and they felt, oh, Gurudev, there's this acharya over here, he's speaking so many wonderful things, and my heart is inspired. I feel that some more bhakti can come over there. And that person is in our line, in proper line. And I'll say, no, you're my disciple. How is that my disciple? You're Krishna, you're Prabhu, you're my master. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he addressed his disciples as Prabhu. You're my master, I'm your servant, I'm serving you. I'm serving Krishna to you. I'm serving Krishna to you. And if you see that someone else is serving Krishna more over there, then fine, very fine, please. Whatever. I remember Satrup Maharaj, when one of his disciples went to Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and he said, do you mind if I go to Bhuvaneshwar and live at the lotus feet of Gaur Govinda Maharaj and serve him and hear from him? He said, fine, wonderful. Will that inspire you? Will you improve your bhakti? Yes, I feel so, Gurudev. Very fine. You go with my full blessings. And if you learn something over there and you find something nice, please write and tell me. Please write and tell me and help me also. Help me. If you find something nice or hear something nice or hear some nice tapes, please send them to me. I would like to also hear. What does that mean? That means no false ego. You know, we're all jivas, right? And some jivas, Krishna wants them to act as guru. But ultimately, we're all servants. We're all Krishna's servants. It's not that guru is some special, well, he's special, no doubt. We're hearing he's special. So ultimately, we're all meant to live in the service of Krishna in the spiritual world. Guru will be there serving. We'll be there serving with Guru, serving together. So if that's the goal, and so we want to push everyone. Guru wants to push everyone up. He wants to push the disciples up. No, you stay here in my class. You can't go. You have a fantastic student, and he can actually. He's in seventh grade, and he's so precocious or whatever they call it, so smart that he can go from seventh grade into college. He can go right into college, 12th grade or something. They have that happen sometimes. Genius type. But then that teacher, he goes to the principal and says, no, don't let him go to college. He's my student. He has to stay in my class. What is that? It's not a good thing. Let's see. Oh, in fair order, we said that. You should know the doubts in the Guru's words and disregard for them. We said that, right? Question. How should the disciple see the Guru? As God or as a human being? Deko. In principle, the Guru and Krishna are one. The disciple should certainly consider the Guru to be God himself. Is it going? The disciple should certainly consider the Guru to be God himself. If you say, is the Guru a human being or God? Then I say, he is whatever you consider him to be. If you consider him to be human, then he is human. If you consider him to be God, then truly he will be God to you. That's very nice. Is my Guru God or human? Oh, all right. Whatever you want. You want him to be human? Then he'll be human. If you want him to be God, then he will be God to you. Wonderful. The English is very nice, but Bengali must be sweet. Wonderful. And if you say, how is that possible? How that means how he can be God, right? And if you say, how is that possible? Then I say, why not? If the devotion of his devotee, now he's citing an example, if the devotion of God's devotee caused him to appear from a crystal pillar, then why would he not be able to manifest himself in the tangible Godhead? Why would he not be able to manifest himself or God as the Guru? In other words, by Prahlad's devotion, and he says in parentheses, by Prahlad Maharaj's devotion, he caused Krishna to manifest from a crystal pillar in the palace of Hiranyakashipu. He didn't have marble pillars, he had crystal with diamonds inside. And those diamonds were so effulgent they lit up the palace at night instead of having some kind of funky tube light with poisonous gas inside. You break that open, you die if you smell the gas. He had rings of diamonds around the crystal pillars, and there was so much absorbed sunlight during the day, they would give off the light, and they're called Suryakant. Suryakant are jewels that give off light, give off Surya. That's the kind of pillars he had. That's the kind of pillar Lord Nisringa came out of. So he's saying that if the devotion of Prahlad can make God come out of the pillar, then why can't your devotion for Guru make God come out of the Guru? You follow? Why can't your devotion for Guru make God come out of the Guru? That's why he's saying he's whatever you want him to be. You want him to be human, he'll be human. But if you want him to be God, then God will come out of him. Very nice. Fantastic. Somehow or other, this was a very timely appearance of this book. Very interesting. Right around the edge of the place. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Shalom. Kulay. So it's nice. We're reminded of Radharani because he always says Sri Gurudev. Whenever you fill up a cup, always fill it about at least an inch from the top. Hare Krishna. This book is wonderful. Okay. For you, now this means disciple. Because in other words, you have to, when all these pronouns are used, you, he, sometimes I have to adjust. But it's a potential disciple, or disciple talking to the guru. So the guru is speaking. So when he says, for you, that means the disciple. So sometimes I'll change it so you understand. For the disciple, Sri Gurudev is the tangible manifestation of God. That is how high your esteem of your guru must be. In other words, you must, your esteem, your... what is esteem? What does esteem mean?
Understanding. No, yeah, perception.
Perception?
Appreciation.
I can't put a finger on it myself. Esteem.
I know, enjoyment.
Is that right? Just throw out some words, I mean, whatever comes to your mind. Esteem? Anyway.
Not like understanding.
Respect or honor. Just no, not that. Anyway, if you understand what it is. What should I have a dictionary, because sometimes these words are important to know. This is it. Value. Exactly correct. You know, this is the highest value. This is a very good thing. The highest esteem. You should value them in such high terms. We were speaking about the other day how guru, you can talk to guru, you can't see Krishna. Remember we were speaking? You can't, I don't know if it was on table. You can't see Krishna, but you see guru, you can't. The untaped series. The best that was never taped. Whatever. If you worship your guru in the... Let's see. If you worship your guru in the image of some other sadhu, sannyasi, brahmachari, or mahapurush, then you will be deceived. You should know your guru to be Premananda Maya Nityananda. He is the avadut who is beyond all rules and prohibitions. He means the guru. You cannot worship guru in the image of some other sadhu, sannyasi, or mahapurush. In other words, the idea is you can't worship your guru and think, well, why, my guru, why isn't he like those other sannyasis? So why isn't he like that? And your worship is, you're worshiping him and thinking, well, wow, he's not like those other sannyasis, or he's not like that other guru, or he does like that, or this Maharaj does like that, or, you know, the Gaudiya Math Maharaj does this or that. And try to, in other words, So you will be deceived means you'll be tricked, or you'll be lost. Deception, like this perception, be misled. You'll be misled, or you'll be lost, or make mistakes. If you worship your guru in the image of some other, it's not very clearly. But therefore, it is certainly very important to consider Sri Gurudev to be God Himself. How many ordinary disciples are able to see Sri Guru exactly as God, apart from some highly qualified disciples? Look, Deko, if you are not able to see Sri Gurudev completely as God, then consider him to be the most trusted relative of God. His uncle. His God uncle. Well, can't see him as God, but at least he's in the family. He's in God's family. From this esteem of the most trusted relative, the awareness of him as God will gradually develop. So nice, very nice. All right, I mean, wait a minute. I mean, I really can't see this sannyasi as God. Anyway, he's a close relative of God. If you have that feeling, then gradually, and it's a genuine feeling, and then you have all full surrender and full faith in Him, and you're serving Him, then gradually you'll come to the point to see Him as actually as the manifestation, the tangible manifestation of God. Acharya mam vijaniyam. Krishna tells Uddhava in Gita, the Acharya is me, Acharya mam vijaniyam. Vijani, vijani means jnan. Vijani means you should realize, you should understand, the Acharya is me, I am, there's no difference. But realization also takes time. What? Anyway, this is Pete. We'll get on with the show. What do you think? No, no, that's not the point. He's not saying, he's talking about worship. When you're worshiping, at least this point is not so clear to me either. But he's, I have to, because this is the first time I've read it, so to actually teach something, or you read it and you think about it, so I have to kind of instantaneously think about it when I'm reading it. And of course it's a translation from Bengali, and the person who's translating doesn't know English as a second language, so there's a lot of problems with phraseology and things and choice of words or whatever. But it, everything is, you keep in the flow of what's being said and try to piece everything things together because there's some continuity. The person is speaking with unity of thought. So he's speaking about holding your Gurudev in high esteem. If you worship your guru in the image of some other son, he's talking about worshiping your guru. He's not talking about shiksha and hearing from someone. He said, if you worship your guru in the image, now image is, this word is so, it's kind of, you know, confusing. In the image of some other sadhu, sannyasi, this sentence isn't clear, quite frankly. If you just take that out, he said, you should know your guru to be premananda maya nityananda. No, here's what he's saying. I think what I said already is consistent with what he's saying. He's saying, I'm right what I said. Because he says that sentence, then he says, your guru is premananda nityananda. Who is nityananda? He's the avadut, right? Nityananda is beyond all the rules and regulations, takes all his clothes off, and Srivas Thakur's house, he drinks the milk from the breast of Malini. That's pretty wild. So, Gurudev, he is also avadut. He's beyond all rules and regulations. You cannot worship him in the image of some other sadhu. I think I made the point clear. You can't say, my Gurudev, you know, he takes mrdanga and he puts it on his head and he spins around and maybe I can't digest that. Why does he do that? Other sannyasis don't do that. You know, this is something what he's saying. Don't try to compare your guru to some other guru. Your guru is everything. Your guru is God and he's manifesting in his own way. It's like we may do some things that no other sannyasi will ever do or something. If someone says, oh, what is this Maharaj? Or someone will tell you, oh, this, that. You know, I don't want to hear all this blessing. My guru is God and he's avadut and like that. Does that, everyone have, anyone else have confusion about that?
Mm-hmm.
You got the point about seeing him as a relative and then gradually mm-hmm. awareness of him as God will actually develop. It's very sweet. What is the relationship between guru and disciple like? This is wonderful, isn't it? I mean, this is our life. This is guru tattva. This is one of the tattvas that we should know. So, we need it. But it's just, I'm right in the line of the draft, so I'm not too keen on it getting a cold. This is the perfect way to get a cold. You know. Huh? No. Maybe. Well, it's a good direction of space. Rising sun. That's okay. You can open it now, because I'm prepared for it. Open it all the way. So, what is the relationship between guru and disciple like? The relationship between guru and disciple is wonderful. It's so nice. The relationship between guru and disciple is so close, so sweet, and so full of responsibility. incredible. It's not like, oh yeah, my guru is great. He just tells me all stories all the time, all pastimes, really great. I don't do a damn thing. I don't do any service. I just kick back and eat mahaprasadam all day, and he asks me to do something, I'll do anything. It's an interesting combination. It's so close, it's so sweet, and it's so full of responsibility. Like, he gives me so much things to do. I have to do this at 8 o'clock and that at 9 o'clock. I'm working my tail off. You know, responsibility means service. And, you know, okay, now I want you to be the president of this temple. President. You know, 4 years, probably wanted you to be the president of a temple. And I was just like, you know, happy-go-lucky brahmacharya, go to the airport, distribute books, and have a good time, eat the mahaprasadam, jump around the kirtan, carefree life, simple life, pure life, and then all of a sudden, okay, now temple president. Oh my God. Put that gas thing by the door. So Krishna has his ways, or Guru has his ways. Actually, I didn't finish the sentence. I got lost. The relationship between Guru and disciple is so close, so sweet, and so full of responsibility that no one but a greatly surrendered disciple can easily understand it. In other words, only the disciple can understand it. No one outside can. And only someone very greatly surrendered can understand this relationship. If the disciple suddenly remembers Sri Gurudev or his teachings while being engaged in material duties or in discussing something, he will immediately lower his head with the purpose of bowing it down to his feet. In other words, the Goswami may be speaking to a Grihastha at this time. The Gurudev may be speaking to a Grihastha disciple. So the Grihastha, he's working. It's not that everybody's in the temple doing, you know, making garlands. Right? In Bengal, there's thousands of devotees that have gurus and they live in Calcutta. So this seems to me what's being said there. If the disciple is engaged in material duties, family duties, that's material duty, going to the job, working, like that. I'm not talking about being Maya. He's a devotee and he chants his rounds and he worships his deity stone, but he goes to work and provides his family. But during the time while he's at work, he thinks, oh my Gurudev, my Sri Gurudev. I'm so fortunate. Jai Gurudev. And then he goes on. He just thinks. So he's saying what he'll do, what that devotee will do. When he remembers his Gurudev, he'll bow his head. You follow? Is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're in the temple and you think of your Gurudev, or of course it's also told when we meet someone, this is told in Hari Bhakti Vilas in the section on achar, proper behavior. Someone, of course, we speak so flippantly. Is that the right word? Flippantly. We just speak this way, that way. Oh, who's your Gurudev? Oh, my Gurudev is Joe. Who's yours? Bill and Tom, Dick and Harry, you know. Oh, how's Tom? How's Dick and Harry, you know. But generally, in the proper Sangha, someone say, who's your Gurudev? And you'll say, and you'll bow your head, and you'll actually go, at least you'll fold your hands. It may seem, from our upbringing, it seems, quote, corny, or wacky, or weird, or strange, or artificial. But if you actually have Guru Bhakti, you don't care what the world thinks. You don't care what your sister thinks, or your brother thinks, or your mother thinks, or anybody thinks. You care what Krishna thinks, and what Guru thinks, and Krishna's sitting there watching. Oh, now there's no one around. There's just you and your grandmother. And now she's asking who your Gurudev is. And I'm watching it. And I'm noting it. Now how are you going to act now? Because no one's watching you. Because when someone's watching you, like when the teacher's in the room, everybody's like, and she goes out, the racers flying across, bam, bam. Oh, teacher, huh? Right? So when Gurudev's there, you know, yes, Gurudev, yes, Gurudev, yes, Gurudev, and Gurudev's gone. All right, you know, fire. You know, okay, I don't have to cover my head anymore, it's gone. You know, Gurudev. Is he gone? He's gone. But Krishna's watching everything. And he tells the guru, so he knows.
But even
about a
violent
thing,
isn't it?
That's an upper eye. That is aparad. Never bring Radharani down to our level. Be careful. When we become too close to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we come down. We start to say we can't compare the transcendental past loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopis with our performance of sadhana bhakti in this material world. You have to be very careful. It's an important point. We want to talk about Radha and Krishna's pastimes with the right siddhanta and the right understanding. Sometimes we get a little bit too familiar. Oh, Radharani, wait a minute. I'm not Radharani, are you? I'm not in the spiritual world, are you? I'm not free from lust, anger, greed, and envy, are you? I'm not totally dedicated, mind, heart, soul, every second, every corpuscle, every breath to the pleasure of Krishna, are you? We have to be careful sometimes. Please don't mind. Because she's our worshipable queen. She can do anything she wants, and we always worship it. We don't say, if we ever have the mentality for a second, Radharani does this, I can. It's very bad. You know what I'm saying? It's very bad. Krishna does. It's like I can say, Krishna. I can never imitate Krishna. You know what that's called? It begins with S. S, you know what it means? It means you take a very high thing and you make it cheap. And this is an example of cheapening something about the behavior or the position of Srimati Radharani. I mean, it's a good point. It's nice you brought it up because it kind of soberizes, kind of make a new word, makes our mind a little more sober sometimes. Because we're always reading about pastimes, but we have to make the vision. Where we are and what our goal is, and have to be careful. Don't mind.
No, thank you,
Lord. So we're just speaking that we're speaking about how when we meet each other rather than being so informal. So we're with where we leave off. Okay, we're with our grandmother, and our grandmother says, "Who's that? What's that picture? What's that on your bead bag?" Or I know she won't say that, but. What's that button on your bead bag, or what's that? What's that? I came in your room. You have this little picture on your wall with blue tack by your bed. What's that? Who's that guy? Oh, grandma, guten Mutter, whatever you say, gross Mutter. And you fold your hands. This is my beloved Gurudev. This is His Divine Grace or His Holiness or whatever you say. And you usually you'd say Sanskrit. You'd say, "Well, she's what's that?" And you say, "Shrimad." If they own Vishnupad, Sri Srimad, they see Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Sri Bhaktivedanta. And you would actually bow down like that. And what would happen if you did that, is your grandmother would make spiritual advances. Her mind may say something. Her mind may come out like a toilet, you know, flushing toilet. And her mind may, inadvertently blurt out, "What?" But she will see for the first time in her life, she will see for the first time in many lifetimes, bhakti. She'll actually see bhakti. And if someone just sees bhakti for 1 second, it can change the whole course of their material life. They can actually turn from darkness to light just by seeing an example of real bhakti. Because guru bhakti means Krishna bhakti. Love for guru means love for Krishna. And people never see this in the material world. Your grandmother's never seen it. And she sees her little granddaughter. She may say all kinds of things and think, but she will see actual bhakti. And that will impress the heart. Her mind may be going crazy and say things. The mind is temporary. The heart is eternal. The mind is temporary in this material mind. But that will make an impression because she's never in her life, never in thousands of lives, seen such a thing. Someone bend down their head. And if that person really has guru bhakti, when they remember their guru, some tear will come. And that's something special. And they'll say, if they're a little bit of a serious person, they'll say, that's nice. They'll be speechless, practically speaking. If they're civilized people, they're just animals. They'll say some crazy thing. I've had the experience myself. Some people are animals; and they respond accordingly. And some people are civilized human beings, and they respond accordingly. It's clear at this point. So imagine with devotees, it's who's your Gurudev? It's a very nice thing. If he suddenly remembers Sri Gurudev, he will immediately lower his head with the purpose of bowing his head down to the feet of his Gurudev. And similarly, as soon as Mangala means Mangala Arti, means auspicious, and Ankshi means, says here, you see, Sri Gurudev, who desires the disciples' welfare, as soon as the Mangala Akshi, Sri Gurudev, remembers his disciples, he will at once raise his hand to bless him. So if you're sitting there, Guru is sitting there and the disciple's not there, and he's thinking of his guru, of his disciple, then he'll say, Krishna, please bless that person. Krishna, please bless my disciple. Or not my disciple, please bless your disciple, Krishna. Please bless your devotee. The relationship between guru and disciple is not a child's game. A relationship so sweet, yet on the other hand, so filled with responsibility, it cannot be found anywhere. Can it? I don't think so. At least we've had relationships as children, parental relationships with our parents, and we had relationships with our friends in Sakya Bhav, and we had relationships in conjugal with wife. But the sweetness, the intimacy, the closeness, responsibility, can't compare. What time is it? Because there are other books we have to look at too. I just want to drink more of this. This is special. We're going to fill the whole tape. Okay. After, question. After following the guru for some time, your tape's okay? It's not ended? After following the guru for some time and becoming intimate with him, some disciples develop a feeling that the guru is something like their kinsman. Is that good? You know the word kinsman? It means family member. Right? Kith and kin means family member. What does kith mean? Some word has no meaning, but together it has some meaning. Kith and kin, or it means the home. Kith means the home. Home and family. It's English, right? English. Kith and kin. I like it. Nice. Kith and kin. Are you hearing this? Understanding? I think you're right. Right. I think that's right. Your children and your relatives are something, kith and kin. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I think that sounds right. What is it? So everyone heard the question, follow the question? Answer. If the awareness that the guru is God remains unharmed, then it can be favorable for devotion if one considers the guru to be like a relative. No, relative means family member. And such a conception is praiseworthy. So in other words, if you don't lose the awareness, if you just start to think, well, my guru is like he's my father. He's just my father. And he's my friend. He's my brother. And then you forget, and he's not really God. He's like my father. He says, that's not good. But if one considers the guru, what I was saying is, I'll read what he says and then we'll repeat it. If the awareness that guru is God remains unharmed, in other words, the question the person is asking is, can we see the guru as our relative? He's saying, it's okay, but at the same time, don't forget and never forget that he's God. He's like a father. He's my father, but he's God. So he says like this: if the awareness that the guru is God remains unharmed, then it can be favorable for devotion, if one considers the guru to be like a relative, and such a conception is praiseworthy. you have the conception my guru is like a very near and dear relative, he's like my father, but you never forget that he's God. So if you maintain these two conceptions, then it's okay, it's praiseworthy. But now he's going to say the other thing. If the disciple considers the guru like an ordinary relative instead of considering him identical with God, then this becomes the root cause of all mischief and wrongdoing or bad activities and bad life. There can be no greater cause for the sadhaka to fall from the path of sadhana than this. It's called minimizing the guru. We just said it. If you consider the guru to be like an ordinary relative and forget about the idea that he's God, then that causes great mischief, and there can be no greater cause for the sadhaka to fall from the path of sadhana than this. In other words, relativizing the guru. You know what relativize? It makes him he's his relative. Or minimizing the position of guru. If you're tired, you can go and sleep and come back. Talk to me later. Is that okay? That's an incredible book. All the elevated loving ecstasies from the kingdom of sadhana perish through this. You catch that? Everyone listening or all spacing out? What's going on? Try to concentrate. What's going on here? So this is a very serious thing, this minimization or relativizing of the guru. All the elevated loving ecstasies from the kingdom of sadhana perish through this type of idea. However elevated the sadhaka becomes, the guru still remains guru, superior, and the disciple remains lagu. Like we have the word lagu bhagavatamrita, brihad bhagavatamrita. So lagu means light. Here it says inferior, means smaller. Guru means heavy or superior. Guru is always guru. When the guru is not considered identical with God, the genuinely perfect sweetness. What's that all about? Just take it or not? What is that? Mohan, just put it there. So however elevated the sadhaka becomes, the guru still remains guru. When the guru is not considered identical with God, the genuinely perfect sweetness of the equality in a guru-disciple relationship is lost. Deko. As long as the disciple has a firm and unbreakable awareness that the guru is equal to God, the disciple may serve a cup of milk to the guru, anxiously holding the cup, kneeling down with tear-filled eyes, sitting at the guru's feet and staring at him. When Gurudev accepts the milk, then the disciple feels his delivery of the milk has been a success, and he considers himself blessed and fulfilled. But if the disciple is so unfortunate to give up this guru awareness due to living together with the guru for too long and thus developing the wrong vision, he will start considering the guru to be just an ordinary relative and think, why is he getting a cup of milk? Why is he getting a cup of milk and we're not? It seems that we don't mean anything here. In other words, the disciple is saying, just Prabhupada is exactly the point. When Prabhupada was in Mayapur, now they just started the Mayapur project, and Prabhupada is an old man at that time, of course, about 80, 79 or 80, whatever. And they got one cow, the goshawa, and they only were getting enough milk for some deity sweets and for Prabhupada, for a half a liter a day for Prabhupada's milk, because he was taking medicine. So Prabhupada said to the devotees, there were a few devotees there, he said, I'm very sorry, there's only enough milk for me. Please forgive me that you're not able to get milk. So, and Prabhupada was so humble and so loving and caring for his disciples, he said, please forgive me, there's only enough milk for Dharamada and myself. So he's saying here that if we consider wrongly that our Gurudev is just a member of our family, this whole conception is all being continued here, that Guru is a relative, right? He's a member of the family. He's my relative. So in the family, what will you think? That's why he's giving this analogy. If you're sitting at the table and your little brother gets a bowl of ice cream, hey, where's my ice cream? Why is he getting it? Why is he getting it, not me? Why is Prabhupada getting the milk and none of us? How come he's getting the milk? We're here too. We need milk. We need milk for our brains. Liquid religiosity. Why is Prabhupada getting all the milk? What's going on? We're all here together. We're all living here in Mayapur. Come on, we're all struggling. He's our father. We're the kids. We need, he should give it to us first. Why is he taking it? You see? Why he's telling this analogy. But when you're seeing your guru, he's your relative. Just like a very humble son, if he was going to serve his father, he would come in with a cup of milk and say, Father, here's your milk. So he's describing how he said, look, as long as now he's saying the correct mentality. So you're seeing your guru as your relative. He's like your father, but the one who sees guru as relative or father or friend or whatever, but at the same time maintains that my guru is God, he will act like this. And he explains, as long as the disciple has a firm and unbreakable awareness that the guru is equal to God, when he serves a cup of milk to his guru, this is how he will do it. So he describes, he will go to the guru anxiously holding the cup, and he will kneel down before his Gurudev with tear-filled eyes, because he's coming before God. It's not, hey Gurudev, hey Dad, how's it going? If it's your relative, just your friend, no God conception, you'll just slap your guru on the back. Hey, Dad, how's it going? And he'll slap, hey, it's good to see you. Right? Father and son. So when you come before Guru Day, there's this close, there's friendship, there's this fun, but there's some reverences there also. Hey, how's it going? And that, when he said, this problem comes from living too long with a guru. Become familiar. We read that, you heard it, we already read it. So it says that familiarity breeds contentment. So he'll come, he'll be kneeling down with tear-filled eyes, sitting at the guru's feet and staring at him. When Gurudev accepts the milk, the disciple will feel that his delivery of the milk has been a success, and then he will consider that his life is blessed and fulfilled. But if the disciple is so unfortunate to give up this guru awareness that my guru is actually God, and how does he do this? By living together, or living with, as he says, living together with a guru for too long. And thus he develops the wrong vision. He will start considering his guru to be just an ordinary relative of the family. And he will think, why is he getting a cup of milk and not us? Don't we count around here? Why is he getting the carrot juice and not us? Satyanandan Swami Maharaj ki. Almost every word of this book is so powerful. I want to finish this point. In an unripe stage of knowledge, listen, pay attention, and due to too much intimacy, see, two points are made here, an unripe stage of knowledge. In other words, you don't know much, you haven't read many books, you haven't heard much. In an unripe stage of knowledge, and due to too much intimacy, an ungrateful, a lot of words here, and they're all important. You can follow, you follow everything? An ungrateful disciple may start considering Sri Guru to be an ordinary relative. When the disciple has developed such a conception of the Guru as an ordinary relative, then all the sadhana bhajan that he has gotten from the Guru is unknowingly vanquished. Exclusive allegiance and gratitude to Sri Guru is the foundation of religion. Allegiance. Anyone can explain? It means faithfulness. Allegiance to the country. You mean, is that the right word? Allegiance? That always strictly, allegiance means strictly following. Is it? Allegiance. Dedication. I'm sure it comes from Allah. You know Allah? It's a name for God. Oh, I think it, no, it's legio. It's a Latin word, and it's a prefix, al, and then legio. Legio, yes, definitely, allegiance. These kind of, these words, when they have al, it's like abject, that's a Latin word. All these exclusive, abject, these are all Latin words, which are not good for proper writing. They always say, throw out the Latin, use Anglo-Saxon. Like we say, he had exclusive faith. Better way to say it, he had firm faith. Firm is Anglo-Saxon, exclusive is Latin. All these ex, all that. He was dejected. He was dejected.